Let's continue reading verses 17 through 24 of Genesis chapter 7. Now in these verses, we see the extent and the results of the worldwide flood of Noah's day. Genesis 7, beginning at verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Again, let's begin this last section of Genesis 7 now with some background notes. Was the flood of Noah's day a local flood or a worldwide flood? Now, what would you conclude after reading Genesis 7? A worldwide flood, of course. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Verse 21, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. And verse 23, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Clearly, a worldwide flood is indicated. And yet, in spite of this clear teaching of Scripture, some Christians, including some evangelical Christians, believe the flood was only a local flood, confined to the Mesopotamian Valley. Can you believe it? They say the universal terms used here in Genesis 7 are only from Noah's perspective, you see. That is, all the high hills and mountains in the Mesopotamian Valley in that area were covered, not all the high hills and mountains in the world. Well, wait a minute. What high hills and mountains in the Mesopotamian Valley anyway? And if they were covered more than 20 feet, verse 20, for 5 months, verse 24, then it was more than a local flood. Remember, water does seek its own level, right? And those who believe in just a local flood say that all life perished, that is, in the Mesopotamian Valley. Not all life worldwide or every man worldwide. Well, again, wait a minute. Why go to the trouble of building the ark? Certainly in 120 years, Noah and the animals could have migrated beyond the Mesopotamian Valley for safety. And there are a number of other arguments to show that the local flood theory doesn't hold water. Sorry for the pun there. Well, let me list a few. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 15, God promised that he would never again flood this earth with water. Now, if the flood of Noah's day was only a localized flood, then God has broken his promise, because there have been many localized floods since the days of Noah, with significant loss of life. The simple answer here is that God promised that there would never again be a worldwide flood. Another biblical argument. All the inspired writers of Scripture, which mention the flood, speak of it in universal terms. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, the world of Noah's day perished being flooded with water, but there is a present heavens and earth which exists now, which will be destroyed by fire. And then Peter goes on to speak of a new heavens and a new earth. So Peter, the inspired writer, speaks of a heavens and earth system before the flood, a heavens and earth system in the present time, and a new heavens and an earth system to come in the future. Peter certainly believed in a worldwide flood. Now let me ask you, did Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, know what he was talking about, or didn't he know what he was talking about? I think you see the answer, right? The Bible clearly indicates a worldwide flood. So if you don't believe in a worldwide flood at the time of Noah, you do have a low view of the inspiration of the Word of God. Another argument from Scripture. Scripture traces all people and nations on earth back to Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And besides the biblical arguments for the worldwide flood, there are a number of other arguments as well. There are the universal flood traditions from all over the world. In these traditions, the flood is worldwide in scope and only few people escape. And then, of course, there is the geologic evidence for the worldwide flood. Do you know that most of the Earth's surface is covered with sedimentary rock, which is, by definition, sediments that have been precipitated out of water and then hardened into rock? You can easily recognize sedimentary rock when you see the different layers of rock as you drive through a road cut in the mountains. These layers of rock, if they're not lava, they are sedimentary rock layers like sandstone or shale or limestone. Sedimentary rock all over the world gives overwhelming evidence of a catastrophic worldwide flood, which was tidal in nature, T-I-D-A-L, tidal in nature. That's one reason for the sharp lines between the layers. Now, at least 90% of the fossils found on this earth today are in sedimentary rock. So fossils, then, are not evidence of millions and millions of years of slow evolution. No. They are evidence of millions of life forms that died during the flood. Don't be brainwashed by the supposed evidence for the theory of evolution. And a lot more we could say here, but we need to move on. So doctrinal point number one, God destroys the wicked with judgment. God destroys the wicked with judgment. Verses 21 through 23, once again, and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So God destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Why did God do such a thing? The answer is found back in Genesis 6, verses 5 through 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Notice, it was not the wickedness of the animals, but the wickedness of man that caused God to destroy the pre-flood world. The animals suffered the consequence of man's sin. When man sins, there is always bad fallout. As God destroyed the wicked people of Noah's day with the judgment of the great flood, so God will ultimately destroy all the wicked with judgment. Psalm 145 and verse 20 says, the Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. The word destroy does not mean annihilation or extinction, but ruin and loss. Hell is not a pleasant subject, but the Bible plainly speaks of the judgment of hell for the unbeliever. God gives plenty of opportunities for people to repent, as he did in Noah's day. But if people do not repent, there follows sure judgment. Remember Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed for men to die once, and then comes judgment. God destroys the wicked with judgment. Doctrinal point number two, God delivers the righteous from judgment. God delivers the righteous from judgment. The end of verse 23. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says that God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. God destroys the wicked with judgment, but he delivers the righteous from judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." What a tremendous promise. Noah was not sinless, but he was declared righteous by God. As we see here in Genesis 7 verse 1, God says, "I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Why was Noah declared righteous by God? Because he believed God. Hebrews 11:7 says that Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. There it is. He was declared righteous by God, just as Abraham was later, because he believed God, because of his faith. Let me ask you this morning, are you an heir of righteousness? You are if you're trusting the Lord by faith. Because of your faith in Christ, you will not experience the judgment of God. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, what about the judgment seat of Christ? Yes, our lives of service will be reviewed before the judgment seat of Christ. But as 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, we will not be judged with this world. God delivers the righteous from judgment. And finally, practical application. Let's trust God in the storms of life. Let's trust God in the storms of life. Noah not only trusted God before the storm, while he was preaching and building the ark. Noah trusted God during the storm, while he was in the ark. Do you know how long Noah and his family were on the ark? 377 days. That's over a year. Now, there must have been some pretty rough days. Remember, the flood was not a tranquil affair. It was quite catastrophic. Although the ark was built for stability, there may have been a number of seasick days. And as far as the record goes, God did not speak with Noah throughout the storm. But Noah never doubted or wavered in faith. What about us? Do we trust God in the storms of life? Do we trust God when it appears that things are out of control? Do we trust God when it seems like the Lord doesn't remember our situation? Maybe you're going through a storm in life right now, rough waters. It seems to you that things are out of control. God is silent. Listen, God knows, and he cares, and he is in control. Listen to the promise of Isaiah 43 in verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." What a great promise. Let's have a faith like Noah. Let's trust God in the storms of life.